Wind blowing all day long, a wind that sings so loud a song. Wind blowing all day long, a wind that sings so loud a song.
This is an excerpt from the children's classic, The Wind in the Willows, by Kenneth Graham. It was written by Kenneth in 1908, and Chapter 6 is where we first meet the notorious Mr. Toad. It was a bright summer morning in the early part of summer. The river had resumed its wonted banks and its accustomed pace, and a hot sun seemed to be pulling everything green and bushy and spiky up out of the earth towards him, as if by strings. The mole and the water rat had been up since dawn, very busy on matters connected with boats and the opening of the boating season, painting and varnishing, mending paddles, repairing cushions, hunting for missing boat hooks, and so on, and were finishing breakfast in their little parlor and eagerly discussing their plans for the day when a heavy knock sounded at the door. "Bother," said Rat, all over egg. "See who it is, Mole, like a good chap, since you've finished." The Mole went to attend the summons, and the Rat heard him utter a cry of surprise. Then he flung the parlor door open and announced with much importance, "Mr. Badger!" This was a wonderful thing indeed, that the Badger should pay a formal call on them, or indeed on anybody. He generally had to be caught, if you wanted him badly, as he slipped quietly along a hedgerow of an early morning or a late evening, or else hunted up in his own house in the middle of the wood, which was a serious undertaking. The Badger strode heavily into the room and stood looking at the two animals with an expression full of seriousness. The Rat let his egg spoon fall on the tablecloth and set open mouth. "The hour has come," said the Badger at last with great solemnity. "What hour?" asked the Rat uneasily, glancing at the clock on the mantelpiece. "Whose hour, you should rather say," replied the Badger. "Why, Toad's hour. The hour of Toad. I said I would take him in hand as some as the winter was well over, and I'm going to take him in hand today." "Oh, Toad's hour, of course," cried the Mole delightedly. "Hooray, I remember now. We'll teach him to be a sensible toad." "This very morning," continued the Badger, taking an armchair, "as I learnt last night from a trustworthy source, another new and exceptionally powerful motor car will arrive at Toad Hall on approval or return. At this very moment, perhaps, Toad is busy arraying himself in those singularly hideous habiliments so dear to him, which transform him from a comparatively good-looking toad into an object which throws any decent-minded animal that comes across it into a violent fit. You must be up and doing ere it is too late. You two animals will accompany me instantly to Toad Hall, and the work of rescue shall be accomplished." "Right you are," said the Rat, starting up. "We'll rescue the poor unhappily animal. We'll convert him. He'll be the most converted toad that ever was before when we've done with him." They set up off the road on their mission of mercy, Badger leading the way. Animals, when in company, walk in a proper and sensible manner in single file, instead of sprawling all across the road and being of no use of support to each other in case of sudden trouble or danger. They reached the carriage drive of Toad Hall to find, as Badger had anticipated, a shiny new motor car of great size, painted a bright red, which is Toad's favorite color, standing in front of the house. As they neared the door, it was flung open, and Mr. Toad, arrayed in goggles, cap, gaiters, and an enormous overcoat, came swaggering down the steps, drawing on his gauntleted gloves. "Hello, come on, you fellows," he cried cheerfully on catching sight of them. "You're just in time to come with me for a jolly, jolly, his hearty accents faltered and fell away as he noticed the stern, unbending look on the countenance of his silent friends, and his invitation remained unfinished. The badger strode up the steps. "Take him inside," he said sternly to his companions. Then as Toad was hustled through the door, struggling and protesting, he turned to the chauffeur in charge of the new motor car. "I'm afraid you won't be wanted today," he said. "Mr. Toad has changed his mind. He will not require the car. Please understand that this is final. You needn't wait." Then he followed the others inside and shut the door. "Now then," he said to Toad when the four of them stood together in the hall, "first of all, take those ridiculous things off." "Shan't," replied Toad with great spirit. "What is the meaning of this gross outrage? I demand an instant explanation." "Take them off him, then, you too," ordered the badger briefly. They had to lay Toad out on the floor, kicking and calling all sorts of names before they could get to work properly. Then the rat sat on him, and the mole got his motor clothes off him bit by bit, and they stood him up on his legs again. A good deal of his blustering spirit seemed to have evaporated with the removal of his fine panoply. Now that he was merely Toad and no longer the terror of the highway, he giggled feebly and looked from one to the other appealingly, seeming quite to understand the situation. "You knew it must come to this sooner or later, Toad," the badger explained severely. "You've disregarded all the warnings we've given you. You've gone on squandering the money your father left you, and you're getting us animals a bad name in the district by your furious driving and your smashes, your rows with the police. Independence is all very well, but we animals never allow our friends to make fools of themselves beyond a certain limit, and that limit you've reached. Now, you're a good fellow in many respects, and I don't want to be too hard on you. I'll make one more effort to bring you to reason. You will come with me into the smoking room, and there you will hear some facts about yourself, and we'll see whether you come out of that room the same Toad that you went in." So he took Toad firmly by the arm, led him into the smoking room, and close the door behind him. "That's no good," said the rat contemptuously. "Talking to Toad will never cure him. He'll say anything." They made themselves comfortable in armchairs and waited patiently. Through the closed door, they could just hear the long, continuous drone of Badger's voice, rising and falling in waves of oratory, and presently they noticed that the sermon began to be punctuated at intervals by long-drawn sobs, evidently proceeding from the bosom of Toad, who was a soft-hearted and affectionate fellow, very easily converted, for the time being, to any point of view. After some three-quarters of an hour, the door opened, and the badger reappeared, solemnly leading by the paw a very limp and dejected Toad. His skin hung baggily about him, his legs wobbled, and his cheeks were furrowed by the tears so plentifully called forth by the badger's moving discourse. "Sit down there, Toad," said the badger, kindly pointing to a chair. "My friends," he went on, "I am pleased to inform you that Toad has at last seen the error of his ways. He is truly sorry for his misguided conduct in the past, and he has undertaken to give up motor cars entirely and forever. I have his solemn promise to that effect."
"Well, that is very good news," said the mole gravely.
"Yes, good news indeed," observed the rat dubiously. If only, he was looking very hard at Toad as he said this, and
could not help thinking he perceived something vaguely resembling a twinkle in that animal's still sorrowful eyes.
"There's only one thing to be done," continued the gratified badger. "Toad, I want you solemnly to repeat before your friends here what you fully admitted to me in the smoking room just now. First, you are sorry for what you've done, and you see the folly of it all."
There was a long, long pause. Toad looked desperately this way and that, while the other animals waited in grave silence. At last he spoke.
"No," he said, a little sullenly but stoutly, "I am not sorry, and it wasn't folly at all. It was simply glorious." "What?" cried the badger, greatly scandalized. "You backsliding animal, didn't you just tell me that in there now?" "Oh, yes, yes, in there," said Toad impatiently. "I'd have said anything in there. You're so eloquent, dear badger, and so moving and so convincing, and put all your points so frightfully well. You can do what you like with me in there, and you know it. But I've been searching my mind since and going over things in it, and I find that I'm not a bit sorry or repentant, really. So it's no earthly good saying I am now, is it?" "Then you didn't promise," said the badger, "never to touch a motor car again?"
"Certainly not," replied Toad emphatically. "On the contrary, I faithfully promise that the very first motor car I see, poop, poop, off I go in it."
"Toad, told you so, didn't I?" observed the rat to the mole.
"Very well, then," said the badger firmly, rising to his feet, "since you won't yield to persuasion, we'll try what force can do. I feared it would come to all this all along. You've often asked us three to come and stay with you, Toad, in this handsome house of yours. Well, now we're going to. When we've converted you to a proper point of view, we may quit, but not before. Take him upstairs, you two, and lock him up in his bedroom while we arrange matters between ourselves."
"It's for your own good, Toady, you know," said the rat kindly, as Toad, kicking and struggling, was hauled up the stairs by his two faithful friends.
"Think what fun we shall all have together, just as we used to, when you've quite got over this painful attack of yours."
"We'll take great care of everything for you till you're well, Toad," said the mole, "and we'll see your money isn't wasted, as it has been." "No more of these regrettable incidents with the police, Toad," said the rat, as they thrust him into his bedroom, "and no more weeks in hospital being ordered about by female nurses, Toad," added the mole, turning the key on him. They descended the stair, Toad shouting abuse at them through the keyhole, and the three friends then met in conference on the situation.
"It's going to be a tedious business," said the badger.
"I've never seen Toad so determined. However, we will see it out. He must never be left an instant unguarded. We shall have to take it in turns to be with him till the poison has worked itself out of his system." So they arranged watches accordingly. Each animal took in turns to sleep in Toad's room at night, and they divided the day up between them. At first, Toad was undoubtedly very trying to his careful guardians. When his violent paroxysms possessed him, he would arrange bedroom chairs in a rude resemblance of a motor car and would crouch on the foremost of them, bent forward and staring fixedly ahead, making uncouth and ghastly noises till the climax was reached, when, turning in complete somersault, he would be prostrate amidst the ruins of the chairs, apparently completely satisfied for the moment. As time passed, however, these painful seizures grew gradually less frequent, and his friends strove to divert his mind into fresh channels. But his interest in other matters did not seem to revive, and he grew apparently languid and depressed. One fine morning, the rat, whose turn it was to go on duty, went upstairs to relieve Badger, whom he found fidgeting to be off and stretch his legs and long ramble round his wood and
down his earths and burrows.
Toad's still in bed, he told the rat outside the door. Can't get much out of him except, oh, leave him alone. He wants nothing. Perhaps he'll be better presently. It may pass off in time. Don't be unduly anxious, and so on. Now you look out, Rat. When Toad's quiet and submissive and playing at being the hero of a Sunday school prize, then he's at his artfulest. There's sure to be something up. I know him. Well, now I must be off.
How are you today, old chap? Inquired the rat cheerfully as he approached Toad's bedside. He had to wait some minutes for an answer. At last, a feeble voice replied,
oh, thank you so much, dear Ratty. So good of you to inquire. But first tell me, how are you yourself and the excellent mole?
Oh, we're all right, replied the rat. Mole, he added incautiously, is going out for a run round with Badger. They'll be out till luncheon time, so you and I will spend a pleasant morning together, and I'll do my very best to amuse you. Now, jump up, there's a good fellow, and don't be moping there on a fine morning like this.
Dear kind rat, murmured Toad, how little you realize my condition, and how very far I am from jumping up now, if ever. But do not trouble about me. I hate being a burden to my friends, and I do not expect to be one much longer. Indeed, I also hope not.
Well, I hope not, too, cried the rat heartily. You're a fine bother to us all this time, and I'm glad to hear it's going to stop. And in weather like this, and the boating season just beginning, it's too bad of you, Toad. It isn't the trouble we mind, but you're making us miss such an awful lot.
I am afraid it is the trouble you mind, though, replied the toad languidly. I can quite understand it. It's natural enough. You're tired of bothering about me. I mustn't ask you to do anything further. I am a nuisance, I know.
You are indeed, said the rat. But I tell you, I'd take any trouble on earth for you if only you would be a sensible animal.
If I thought that, Ratty, murmured Toad, more feebly than ever, then I think I would beg you, for the last time probably, to drop round to the village as quickly as possible, even now it may be too late, and fetch the doctor. But don't you bother. It's only a trouble, and perhaps we may as well let things take their course.
Why, what do you need a doctor for? Inquired the rat, coming closer and examining him. He certainly lay very still and flat, and his voice was weaker, and his manner much changed.
Surely you've noticed of late, murmured Toad. But no, why should you? Nothing. Noticing things is only a trouble. Tomorrow, indeed, you may be saying to yourself, oh, if only I had only noticed sooner. If only I had done something. But no, it's a trouble. Never mind. Forget what I asked.
Look here, old man, said the rat, beginning to get rather alarmed. Of course I'll fetch a doctor to you, if you really think you want him. But you can hardly be bad enough for that yet. Let's talk about something else.
I fear, dear friend, said Toad with a sad smile, that talk can do little in a case like this, or doctors either, for that matter. Still, one must grasp at the slightest straw. And by the way, while you are about it, I hate to give you additional trouble, but I happen to remember that you will pass the door. Would you mind at the same time asking the lawyer to step up? It would be a convenience to me. And there are moments, perhaps I should say there is a moment, when one must face disagreeable tasks at whatever cost to exhausted nature.
A lawyer? Oh, he must be really bad, the affrighted rat said to himself as he hurried from the room, not forgetting, however, to lock the door carefully behind him. Outside, he stopped to consider. The other two were far away, and he had no one to consult. "It's best to be on the safe side," he said on reflection. "I've known Toad fancy himself frightfully bad before, without the slightest reason, but I've never heard him ask for a lawyer, and if there's nothing really the matter, the doctor will tell him he's an old ass and cheer him up, and that will be something gained. I'd better humor him and go. It won't take very long." So he ran off to the village on his errand of mercy. The Toad, who had hopped lightly out of bed as soon as he heard the key turned in the lock, watched him eagerly from the window till he disappeared down the carriage drive. Then, laughing heartily, he dressed as quickly as possible and slipped out the window into the yard.
So you toss the gun.